Okay, 11:30. Okay, I'm just going to carry on a little bit longer and just say a little bit about each of the four reminders. I'm just going to carry on. So in the book This Precious Life, which is by Khandro Rinpoche, who's a woman. She's I didn't realise it when I bought the book, actually. There's a picture of it on it, and she looks a fairly young woman. When the book was written, which I think is the last few years, she's the highest trained woman in Tibetan, in the Tibetan tradition. And she's the head of a monastery somewhere in southern India. And she also teaches in Europe, and it's obvious that she teaches in Germany, because she makes reference to some adverts on German TV. So it's a very attractive style that she's got, and she's speaking to Western disciples mostly. I don't think that would be in her own monastery, but she is of course when she's in the States and or over in Europe. So she talks about the four reminders as helping us cross over from embodying bewilderment to embodying wisdom. Dead simple way of putting it, isn't it? She also says the four reminders mature our mind, making it mature enough to understand reality, which I rather like that. Pema Chodron in The Wisdom of No Escape, she says, what are the reminders of? And her particular focus, and it's in that particular book. So if you read that chapter, it's in the context of that particular book. So there's a particular kind of approach and content there. But she talks about the reminders as the reminders of why we should make an effort to return to the present moment. So that's an interesting way of looking at them. She talks about them as four ways of waking ourselves up. They tell us about why to bother practicing. So if you ever find yourself, you know, with the question in your mind, why bother? Oh, you know, why bother? Then Pema Chodron's saying, well, have a look at, when you're in that state, have a look at the four reminders, because they tell you why bother. They give you the answer to that. So the first one then, this precious human life, it's a genuine appreciation of our human body, our mind and our potential. It's also realising that with effort, we can really create the causes of happiness in ourselves and in other people. So, you know, when we find ourselves reciting, may all beings enjoy happiness and the causes of happiness, or be free from suffering and the causes of suffering, then these are not empty words. These reminders help us to build up the faith that we really have an ability to bring that about. That's the opportunity that we have in our precious human life. Pema Chodron talks about this in terms of it's a rare and wonderful thing, a human existence. It has its pain and its difficulties, but it brings a wonderful opportunity. We've got everything going for us. And in particular, this, which again I'll touch on later on tonight, there's the thing about human life, and this is in comparison with the other realms, other five realms, that in the human existence, in the human realm, we don't have extreme, inescapable pain. There is pain in being human. In any ordinary human life, there's going to be an experience of pain, but it's not extreme. And it's not inescapable in the way, say, that it is in the way that hell realms are portrayed, or even hungry ghost realm is portrayed. We don't experience extreme, inescapable pain, and we don't have such total pleasure that we're lulled into ignorance. So it's important. Part of the opportunity is that there are not extremes of pain or pleasure. There's pain and pleasure in our life, but not the extremes of it. In terms of what it could be, because we may think, well, such and such is pretty bad. Yeah, well, such and such is pretty bad, but not in comparison to what could be. Not in comparison to what's described in Hell Realms or some of the others. So that, and that's actually part of what gives it an opportunity, because we're not lulled into ignorance, and that's a reference to the God Realm. The God Realm isn't an advantage in that, not from the point of view of attaining enlightenment. You might think, well, it'd be nice to be in the God Realm. Of course it would, by definition it would be lovely to be in the God Realm, but it wouldn't necessarily be the best conditions to attain enlightenment. But it definitely isn't, because there's so much total pleasure that there's no reason to practice. You know, when we're happy, we don't tend to go, why am I happy? Oh dear, why? But, you know, when things get a bit, you know, they're bumpy and then a bit not so comfortable, then that's when we have a question about what can I do about this. So that's part of why it's an opportunity. This reminder says, well, cultivate gratitude for this opportunity and don't waste it. It says, devote yourself to what has most meaning then in your life. Since it's such an opportunity, decide for yourself what has got most meaning to me, and then devote yourself to it. Don't let yourself be beguiled by how, or deluded by how things are not. So just to lapse this a little bit then about precious human life. Impermanence, reflecting impermanence, it's another way of bringing about that sense of urgency and not wasting our potential. And it's a reflection that's quite sobering. If you remember when I read out that those verses that Shogyam Trungpa wrote for his Western disciples, it's got, just doing it by memory here, but death is real. It comes upon us without warning. It comes without warning. This body will be a corpse. That's fact. So it's sobering. But that very sobering quality actually can heighten the sense of gratitude and devotion that we can cultivate from the first reminder. It can heighten it, throw it into relief. And in this one, ask yourself, well, what are my, if this is about urgency, what are the urgent questions in my life? Think about that. What are the urgent questions in your life? And seek answers to them. It might be, why bother? It might be that I fall into that every now and again. I go, I just need to know, have an answer again for why bother? How can I rouse myself to make more effort? That might be your urgent question. Why am I so habitual in the way that I go about things? That might be your... I mean, you might have an idea of what your habits are, but not have an idea about why they're so strong and how you can get... Why is it? Why am I so habitual? How can I stop that? That might be the urgent question. Am I willing to die spiritually? What would that mean? Is that an urgent question? Am I scared? What am I scared of? So just take time to reflect on what are your urgent questions then, and see if anything arises. So third reminder is the reflections on actions, causes and effects. This in itself actually helps us see and understand when and how our mind slips into those habitual patterns. If we just start paying them more attention. But perhaps helps us see that if we had a better continuity of mindfulness in our practice, that would be a support to really kind of picking up when we're just on the verge of slipping into a habitual response again. Probably also reflecting on actions, cause and effects will give us the awareness that kindness and compassion are really help. There is a real need for kindness and compassion, just to avoid those habitual unhelpful patterns. But also they're just straightforward, simple awareness that every action has a result. It's terrible. I think it's very easy to take that for granted. It's very easy to think, oh yeah, I know that. I understand that. But well, it is true, of course, that we do know that, and we, to a certain extent, we do understand that. But there's just this reminder, is just saying, look, there's a depth of understanding that we need. There's a depth of understanding that we haven't got yet, and go for that. Go for the depth of understanding in the that every action has a result. And just one other thing to say about this one briefly. It's just a reminder, perhaps, that it is important how we live. The fact that actions have consequences means it is important how we live. It's important for us in terms of how our future will unfold. Because if you want to know how it's going to be for you in the future, look to know how you are now. So it is important to us that it is important how we live from our personal point of view, but it's also important from other people's point of view because we impact on other people. So just even that is a good thing to give some attention to. Yeah. So how we are now is a conditioning factor, probably the root conditioning factor, not the only one, but you know, the root conditioning factor for how we're going to be. Well, how do you want to be in 10 years' time or in 5 years' time? And the other positive side to this is that we can make things change, we can make a difference in all this. So it's there's a sobering effect from this, but it's also a very positive message to it. So then just the last reminder then, the fourth one, the futility of continuing in samsara. So reflection on the suffering of the six realms brings immediacy and more direct awareness of other people's suffering, our own and other people's suffering. Again, lends more urgency. So it's a reflection on samsara as a whole, us and other people in it. And it can just be a reflection on the six realms. You could just reflect on the six realms and what they represent in various ways. You can reflect on them as objective realities. You can reflect on them as that kind of attitude in yourself. And what you see, is like just cycling. It's a cycling existence. You go round and round the same patterns. We keep going round and round, seeking security where it isn't found, avoiding that sense of groundlessness all the time. Just always seeking security, but seeking it in the wrong places. What a pity. So I'm going to stop there. That's more than enough to be going on with. Later on this evening, I'm going to go into a bit more about the first of the reminders, this precious human life. So for the moment, it's now 10:12. So let's have a 20-minute break. Time there to get a breath of fresh air if you want it. Certainly get a cup of tea or a cup of coffee if you want it, and that means we meet in the shrine room at 12:10, and we're going to do a metta bhavana, and that'll take us up. It won't be 50 minutes; it'll take us up to lunchtime, but 1 o'clock. Yeah, it'll be about 45 minutes. It'll take us up to 1 o'clock. Good.